Hi, welcome to Dogs Are Smarter Than People with New York Times bestselling author Carrie Jones
and her adorable husband Sean Farrar.
Woo!
Thanks for hanging out with us as we give some
life tips
and real life marriage banter.
Let's get started now with a random thought.
Hey, welcome to Dogs Are Smarter Than People.
What's you laughing at, baby?
I'm laughing at you, man.
Why?
Because you were just talking about cleaning your teeth with your tongue.
Well, I was just eating cashews.
You're not supposed to tell people that, man.
Why not?
Because it's gross.
Cashews are freaking delicious.
The whole act of eating is icky.
It's not. It's an incredible adventure.
For some people,
the textures,
the thought,
flavor of the salt on your fingers as you lick it with your tongue.
See, that's where you get gross. You always cross the line for
it's not gross.
Dude, licking with your tongue's gross, man. Sigh.
You know when you get to the very bottom of the cashew bucket, there's hardly any, there's like these little tiny pieces of nut left, but there's a ton of salt. So what you do is you pre-lick your fingers.
That's so gross.
And you drag it through the salt.
I don't know how I married you.
As you pick up the nut kernels, and it's so good.
Dude.
What?
That's nasty.
That's the best part.
Man. That is nasty. That is like picking your pimple. If you do it, you don't want to tell anybody.
It's got nothing to do with eating.
It's the same kind of gross, man. It's gross. You just don't want to share it.
And besides, there's nothing satisfying and splattering a big juicy
no! God, I'm not going to make it.
All over the mirror. All
right, hey.
Well, don't tell me you've never done that.
Never.
You lie.
I don't, actually. All right, so here we are.
Like, look.
No. Come on, stop.
A good double fingernail.
No. Jeez, I'm crow. Hello, listeners to Dogs Are Smarter Than People. This is going to be a solo podcast right now, and I'm just going to hold my hand over the mighty fur. Ow, he bit me.
I wasn't done with my...
No, please don't. Please don't. Please, for the love of our marriage.
It's just a trick for maximum
no.
distance.
No, please don't.
Okay. Good Lord.
This podcast is supposed to be about happiness, and you can it see is. What a battle it is for me, honestly.
Happiness is open to interpretation and definition.
All right, so before we talk about that, because this podcast is also about dogs, there was a woman in Austin, and she still is there, and she has a doggie named Huckleberry. I want you to imagine an adorable golden retriever with cutie golden retriever face on top of a ranch house with a stone facade. And this dog is on the roof. And as the Mirror from the UK says, quote, in an article by Paige Freshwater, the content editor, every dog has its quirks, but some have more than others. A woman is forced to install a sign outside her home after her neighbors shared their concerns about her dog's unusual behavior, explaining how her golden retriever has a tendency to, quote, hang out on the roof of her house.
How does he get up
she
there?
She has assured them he's safe and well taken care of. The sign reads, Huckleberry, cutest doggy name ever, is living up to his name and learned how to jump onto our roof from the backyard. We never leave him in the backyard without someone being at home. He will not jump off unless you entice him with food or a ball.
Huckleberry's ballsy.
Uh-huh.
But if you notice at the top of that note, you can hardly see it because of the glare. It says, don't be alarmed.
I know. And then it says, we appreciate your concern, but please don't knock on our door. We know he's up there, but please feel free to take pictures of him and share with the world.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So apparently, like, before she put the sign up, 5 or 4 or something around there, people would knock on her door every week being like, there's a dog. There's a dog on your roof. There's a dog on your roof. But now that she has the sign on her door, only 2 people do it about a week. Despite the fact that there's a sign there.
As you're walking up to the house.
Yeah.
I believe it, though. Yeah, people are just, they get so wound up. You know, I really am quite surprised, honestly, that we've never had anybody tell us there's a dog or a cat on our roof.
I know.
Because our bedroom window, they could get right out if they popped the hole in the screen.
They totally could. And I'm sure eventually our puppy Pogi is going to be the dog that does
Man, she's so going to be the dog
that goes so out gonna on the roof. Be the dog on the roof. But anyways.
She should be bailing out of her cat.
Our dog, to imagine her, is a lot like Odie in the Garfield cartoon. Like, the energy, the intelligence, like, the
That's looks. Mean. That's
She's
so mean.
She's basically Odie. That is true. Anyway, so, the last thing I wanted to say about this is that somebody recently on Reddit.
Yeah.
Because somebody posted about it on Reddit, was like, can you hear him walking? And she's like, yeah. And they're like, has he ever pooped on the roof? And she's like, oh, I don't know. But I have been wondering, my gutters have been clogged. And there aren't any trees around them.
Uh-huh.
And apparently he, like, if there's a jogger going by, he barks so that they'll pay attention to him. Or just to say hello. But isn't that amazing?
It is amazing.
I thought it was so amazing. Like, I can't even imagine, like, just having a dog climbing on the roof, chilling out.
I'd like to see the back of their house.
Like,
what he uses as a little jumpy stair system, you know?
Yeah, that's a really good point. But the other point here is that Huckleberry, he's happy. He goes his own damn way and he's happy. And that's kind of what our podcast is about.
Oh, really?
Happiness.
Pooping in gutters?
Yeah, there you go. And that was your random thought for the day.
Pooping in gutters.
You always gotta make it about poop.
No, I don't. Sometimes it's about sex.
Poop and sex.
And salty cashews. So what?
So, now that we've talked about poop, pimples, and dogs on roof, let's really talk about happiness, okay?
Sounds like a good start.
So have you ever been home, like come home, and been like, dang, why is my doggie so happy?
Yeah, I mean, I've also come home and said, why is that lazy dog not come greet me at the door?
Well, in general,
yeah,
dogs are pretty cool, happy animals.
They sure are.
And they're amazing because unlike some of us, cough.
Yeah.
They don't hide how they feel.
Oh, damn, that's true.
It's all just right out there. Like, the dog's happy, the whole body wags. Dog's scared, their hackles go up.
Yeah.
I'm a dog.
Possibly.
Okay, so.
All your reactions are verbal.
So anyways, according to Global Dog Breeds, the reason dogs are so happy are these. What?
Nothing.
They forgive.
Yes, they do.
They live in the present.
Do they?
Yeah. They're happy
with... That's why they forgive, because they forget.
Unless they're Sparty, they're happy with what they have right here, right now.
Yeah.
And they embrace life.
Yeah.
And they know how to get cozy and comfy.
They sure do.
And they trust their owners. Like,
most times, I guess.
We're supposed to be trusting the universe, right?
Right.
Yeah. So... I'm taking this really course that's cool. A pretty cool course. Really course. I don't know what I was saying, but it's a pretty cool course.
That's exactly what it says.
For free on edX, which is not an ad, sadly. I wish we were making money. But it's all about happiness, and it's taught by Arthur Brooks, a professor at Harvard. And all these things about why dogs are happy made me think about the class and some of the teachings from it, right?
Yeah.
So Brooks says... It turns out that the way we think about happiness is informed by where we live. For example, in some cultures, happiness is defined by social harmony. In others, it's defined by personal achievement. So the way we answer the question, are you happy, depends to an extent on where we're from, which is what you were randomly saying at the beginning of the podcast. Do you remember all the way back? Yeah, it was like 4 minutes ago.
Well, that's like a sensory to me.
I know, baby, I know. All right, so then... Brooks interviewed the Dalai Lama, and His Holiness, the 14th Dalai Lama, shared the following. I think very purpose, I'm not sure why he said very there, but very purpose of our daily life. I think he means I think happiness is our purpose of our daily life.
Yeah.
So for a happy life, firstly, we need some sense of oneness of 7 billion human beings on this planet. We have to live together. An individual's future depends on them. One individual, one of the 7 billion human beings in the group know that. And you're like, what's that exactly mean? So, Brooks basically summarizes His Holiness points as follows. The first is, he taught us tonight that happiness comes from being useful and having a life's purpose. And that purpose, the purpose that we have, our highest purpose, which is a lot of purposes.
It sure is.
Is caring for each other, lifting each other up, remembering that each of us is one of 7 billion human beings.
That's almost exactly what you say every day, baby.
I know. And the second...
much more concise.
You might want to call me the Holiness after this. All right, never mind.
I do quite often at nighttime.
Oh! Damn!
But in the way that I hold you above everything else.
No, more talk.
I raise my arms in praise.
I don't care if this is a podcast.
At my holiness.
The second way that he made this point is when he talked about unhappiness, which is our own creation. Unhappiness comes in our own mind because of self-centeredness. We become unhappy because we're unnatural. And we're unnatural whom we are thinking only of ourselves. We can only be truly happy when we get out of this creation that is unhappiness by focusing on other people. And the third point, I would have said that more succinctly too.
Well, you know, my argument is when I focus on other people, that's when I get pissed off.
I know, that's not true.
I like the gas pedals on the right there, mofo.
It's very true.
Can you please actually walk across the road instead of strolling?
And Amy, our doll, our oldest kiddo, is like the same way. She's like, why are you jaywalking at a diagonal? It's a diagonal. Anyways, the third point that he made was about our intellectual lives, Brooks says, about research and investigation, about our brains and the importance of sanctifying our intellectual work by putting it in the service of our hearts, putting it in the service of our love for other people. That, in fact, our hearts can be most effective when our brains are fully engaged in the purpose, sanctifying that purpose and loving each other. And finally, the fourth way that His Holiness made this point, that happiness comes from love for others, is that we need education, that we need an education system that teaches each of us unity and oneness and sisterhood and brotherhood, and that is our leadership challenge.
I have a question.
I don't know if I can answer it.
Now that Brooks extract all of this from that one paragraph quote from the Dalai Lama?
I think they talked a little more than that.
Because that's a lot of
extraction.
Biased extrapolation. What's the word?
Extrapolation? Yes. No. They talked more than that.
Okay.
And yeah, I don't know what I'm going to do with that Dalai Lama quote. I might take it out.
Why?
Because it's kind of nonsensical.
Because it's kind of sketchy.
Yeah, like...
It's like English is not a first language.
Yeah, and then nobody fixed it. So, yeah. In an opinion piece for the Washington Post, Brooks and the Dalai Lama co-wrote, "The objective is not to vanquish a person I consider my enemy, and it is to destroy..."
Destroy them, yes!
No.
Oh.
It is to destroy... It is to destroy the illusion that he or she was my enemy in the first place. And the way we do this is by overcoming my own negative emotions. Like you have for the people in the cars. Every time you drive, babe.
And like, I do that. Yeah. I can do it once, twice, and then that's it. I'm out.
He's out.
the anger rules.
So anyways, maybe taking that approach is unrealistic to you, they continue to say. Like a kind of discipline only a monk could achieve through years of concentrated meditation. But that isn't true. You can do it too, regardless of your belief system, or even if you're Sean. The secret is to express warm-heartedness, kindness, and generosity, even in disagreement, and especially when others show you contempt or hatred. And we failed that this week.
I can get crazy. Would you please...
No.
Go faster.
No. But the thing is, like, the question really is how do you do that when it feels like other people are taking yours and other essential human rights? Like, or putting lives at stake, or creating, or revoking, or refusing to revoke policy, be them about guns, or abortions, or clean water, or property rights, whatever way you feel about those things that you feel are essential. And that's really the question. Like, how do you love your enemy when it feels like your enemy is so full of hate and like the exact opposite of everything you believe?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know. That's what they said up there a couple paragraphs ago. Destroy them.
No, they said just...
I know, it's not.
But, like, it's not to vanquish them. It's to, like, think that they're not your enemy. And it's sort of like, you know, you can go to the extreme and be like, how is someone committing genocide not my enemy?
Right.
And, like, how do you find that place there, you know?
Well, I mean, technically, I guess they're only your enemy if they're trying to kill you, but I'm just kidding. That's a horrible thing.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's really interesting because it's sort of like a how do you negotiate those
well,
two.
That's why you have to become a monk and meditate for years.
Yeah, I need a lot of meditation to get there.
Yes.
Because I am not Her Holiness the Carrie. I am just,
Not till at least 9 o'clock p.m.
I lost it on Facebook, Carrie, you know? Uh-huh. Like, not as bad as you did. But, like, yeah. Like, how do you go after people with love all the time?
It's very hard. It's very, trust me.
Because we're all human.
It's hard for me to do it all the time.
And then sometimes it's sort of like, is that even the right way? But I guess it is the right way. If it's the way of happiness, according to His Holiness, the Dalai Lama.
This is not a philosophical
and
podcast.
Captain Harvard, Mr. Brooks.
Although it's devolving into one.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. But be more like your dogs.
And remember that any time a conversation goes philosophical, it's devolving.
Oh. That's so wrong, Pimple Popper.
Hey there. Thanks for listening to Dogs Are Smarter Than People. Please be sure to like, subscribe, and share your heart out.
These podcasts and more are at my website, carriejonesbooks.blog.
There's even a little donation button there. Because even a dollar inspires a happy dance in Carrie.
And Sean.
But hers are much better than mine.
His are funnier.
So thank you so much for your support.
The music you hear here is made available through the Creative Commons, and it's a bit of a shortened track.
Who is the artist and what's the song?
Well, it's Summer Spliff by Broke for Free.
I love that song.
He does.
Just because of the name.
He does.
Thanks for listening so much.
Boop.